Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, and I think it's episode, 118. It's the week of January 14th, 2011. And I'm running just 2 miles today. Come here, Blue. Come here. Which is somewhat of a novelty. Today's actually the first day of my 50-mile ultra training. Actually, yesterday was technically the first day, but that was a rest day. Today's technically the first day. It's just a 2-mile run. I've got 3 2-milers this week, and then an 8 and a 6 on the weekend. Waiting for my Garmin to come around right now. I had a little trouble with my Garmin last week. I did kind of a hard reset on it, and it seems to have worked, but it always takes forever to get satellites when it's cloudy, which is kind of cloudy and a little bit rainy right now. And the reason I decided to run outside is because I only have to do 2 miles. Had a real good 12-miler last weekend, 12.2 to be exact. Big confidence built. I ran with Ash and Bob and some other locals, Tom, Rodney, some other guys that listen to the show, local guys here in town. I can't remember the last time I ran just 2 miles. I think it was probably my last marathon, I would think. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the weekly mileage for the 50-miler during this podcast. It's going to be kind of a brief podcast. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about, time permitting, I'll talk a little bit about the Ashland Railroad Run Race Committee. Had a first meeting last week. And I'm going to probably also hit briefly on my question on which marathons I'm going to run this spring. I started to change my mind a little bit. I'm having a hard time deciding. So the first thing is this is the first day of my 50-mile ultra training. I have been down this road before. The training program I'm following is one that I found on a website. It's a California running club called Santa Clarita's Runners, something like that. And they have one of these training calculators that you can find on pretty much training website. But that's the one that I liked, and you can punch in your race date. I think you can kind of give your ability level, what length of race you want to do. And it'll spit out a generalized program. And the reason I like this one is because it centers around the double long runs, the Big Mac, or the long run sandwich, which is 2 long runs on the weekend sandwiched by rest days, Friday and Monday. And I did that last time when I was training for the North Face 50-miler. And while I had a hard time doing all the mileage, some of it was pretty damn ambitious, I was able to complete the event, which is really what my goal was. Now, if you've somehow stumbled upon this podcast and you're a elite ultra runner or an elite marathon runner, you might want to just hit the stop button and move on to your next podcast. I'm an ordinary middle of the pack nobody. Never really won anything in my life, and I kind of like being under the radar. It's a much more peaceful life that way. So what I do is I just share my experiences as a 200-pound ultra runner. And so that's what I'm starting today. 2 miles is all that's needed for today. 20 minutes. Got my boy Blue with me. He was real excited when I got home from work. And I decided I was going to run outside regardless of the weather. Right now I'm wishing I'd worn gloves. My hands are freezing. But I do have shorts on. We had snow this morning, changed over to sleet, kind of a freezing rain effect right now. And canceled school, which is typical in Virginia. They'll cancel school for any kind of snowfall. But all right, so I'm doing the Keys 100 50 mile option of the Keys 100 Ultra Marathon, May 14th. The race I'm doing starts in Marathon, Florida, which is, I guess, Marathon Key, and goes to Key West, 50 miles, starting at the 51-mile marker and descending down to the 1-mile marker. That should be a cool experience, running descending order mile markers, I hope. We'll see how it goes. And it might be one of those types of races where you don't really worry about the mileage on your Garmin. You just worry about your cutoff times and maybe just keep a stopwatch. But anyway, the mileage I'm doing to prepare for this race starts at 20 this week, 24 next week. This is total mileage for the week. Then it goes 28, 34, 40, 44, 48, drop to 36, jumps up to 52, 54, 56, drops back to 33, and then keeps increasing until it gets to 60 miles a week is where it peaks. Now, 60 miles in a week is not possible for me. When I did a similar program last year preparing for North Face, I cleared 50 miles 1 week, and I decided that was good enough for me. And boy, that was a hurting week. You talking about eat, sleep, work, drink beer, run. That was pretty much my schedule. The biggest hurdle I'm gonna have for these double long runs on the weekends, and they start small this weekend, 8 and 6, 8 on Saturday, 6 on Sunday. They get bigger, and they get up to the point where you're supposed to, you do 10 miles a day after a marathon. Right now, for me, that just seems a little bit unfathomable. It really does. I can't quite wrap my head around that yet, because I've always personally thought it's silly to run the day after a marathon. It just, to me, that doesn't make any sense, because you put your body through pretty much an ultimate test, and yet you're going to go out there for a, quote, recovery run? I mean, give me a break. Blue will pinch a loaf here. We're in a nice wooded section of Carter Park. Man, it is freezing. My fingertips are really... I should have worn gloves. My legs never really get cold. Plus the wind's blowing. But the majority of that mileage that I just rattled off is on those two runs on the weekend. For example, on some of the high 40s weeks, you're talking a 20-miler on Saturday, 10-miler on Sunday. That's 30. And then for the weekend, out of 2 days. And then you combine that with a possible 10-miler on Wednesday, bookended by 2 5-milers. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday program, rest Friday, double long runs, rest Monday, rise and repeat. You guys going fast. You know, I really tried hard last time to get through that program, and I liked it. I think the program teaches you to run on tired legs. And, I mean, it helped me through. I've been running the North Face 50 back in June of 2010. I never wanted to quit. I mean, I really didn't. And I'm not trying to sound macho or anything. Mentally, I never wanted to quit. Physically, I was done. Physically, I injured myself. I mean, I overuse injury, friction, moisture, and heat. Deadly triangle for bad blistering. As I've said before, the severe and ultra blistering that I encountered. But I think the double long runs were crucial. Come on, Blue. They were just crucial in getting my body mentally trained to stay out there long. So, and I did do some 20 plus 10 milers last time around. But you gotta do it, man. I don't wanna have to pick anything up in the yard. So today's the first day, feeling pretty good. It's a great feeling knowing I only got to run for 20 minutes or so. Going out to the movie tonight to see Hood to Coast, the movie about the largest relay in the world. Meeting up with two Team Incognito team members, Crash, Snuggy Bear, and it's kind of like a mandate. So we were joking around. Do we have to kind of sit, you know, with a chair in between us? I said, look, man, I'm 41 years old. I'm over that. I'm pretty secure in who I am and what I'm doing. But really looking forward to that. Both of those guys listened to the show. I was kind of hoping we were trying to get a group to go see that movie from our running club, our running group. But it just didn't work out. People are busy. And in some ways, I guess I'm glad the weather hasn't, the snow has not accumulated on the streets to the point where I can't get out tonight. Okay, that's the intro to the ultra training for today. Second thing, our race committee has started. As I've stated before on previous shows, I am a co-race director for the Ashland Railroad Run 10K, which is in its 33rd year. It's going to be on April 30th here in the center of the universe. Basically, it's a situation where you just don't foul it up. You know, it's almost automatic once you get somebody behind the wheel to make the calls and get things coordinated. There are some ways that you can put on your individual, kind of put an individual stamp on it. That is, one's with the logo. Second is with prizes, indoor prizes. We do have unique door prizes.
The technology of the AAA battery. Well, that's what happens when you don't have a fresh AAA battery in your podcasting equipment when you're out on the trail. I don't really podcast about the podcast, but I usually have a good battery in my digital recorder, and I didn't today. So back in the recording studio to finish up talking about the race committee here on my kitchen counter. We were talking about door prizes. When you're the race director of a race that's in its 33rd year, there's only so much you can do to really put your own stamp on it. One's the race logo, like I already mentioned. The other's kind of unique door prizes, which we kind of take pride in here in Ashland about getting some kind of unique door prizes. And I'll give you an example. Last year, somehow I won a door prize, or my wife did, or my daughter. I think my daughter did. And what it was a family pack tour package to Scotchtown, which was the home of Patrick Henry while right before he was governor of Virginia back in colonial times. And Scotchtown is a kind of like a mansion out in the west end of Hanover County that's been restored. And it's really cool. They have people in period dress. And we went out there for the Christmas season when they had a Christmas program, and that was really cool. And we took a friend of my daughter's, which we actually could have taken two more people with the prize that we won. So that was kind of cool. I'd only been out there once before on a tour, and it's haunted. It's a haunted place. It doesn't bill itself as a haunted house, but Patrick Henry, well, I'm kind of getting on a tangent here, but Patrick Henry's wife was mentally ill, and they made her live in the basement. And it was kind of sparse down there because that's part of the tour. But anyway, they didn't keep her tied up or anything, but they did keep her locked down there. I think because they had so many kids, and I think she might have hurt the kids. And that's how they treated mental illness back then. But anyway, it was a really cool thing. It was kind of a unique door prize, and we had a lot of fun going out there. It was really cold that day. I've been out to Scotchtown before, but it was work-related, and there might be something to that whole haunted thing. But I'll leave that for another show, or for maybe not at all. But anyway, there's very little you can do to the Ashland Railroad Run to put your own personal stamp on it. However, because it's been going on for so long, I mean, really, you just don't want to mess it up. And I make a joke of that. Really, there is a lot of work to do, and you can, personalize it a little bit. But really, it's the same, pretty much the same thing. We did change the course. This will be the second year with the new certified course. But the biggest thing for this year is that we're going to do chip timing. And we're getting ready to make a decision on that. We're deciding between two companies, and that's kind of a huge thing because that's going to make the managing the finish line a lot easier and getting the results out a lot quicker, especially because there are people now that actually bring devices with them that are in their car or at the race where they're already looking online to see if stuff is posted. So we're hoping to be able to post results as quickly as possible and give out the age group awards, you know, while people are still sticking around. And a couple of years past, there's been some problems at the finish line, not anything intentional, just because of the amount of runners. And that's going to happen when you don't have computerized timing. And so we're going to have to pay a little extra for that, and I think we're willing to do that. So I'm very excited about being involved with directing the race, along with Tamara. We're having another meeting tomorrow night as co-race directors just to hammer out some more things, to make sure we're kind of on top of what the other person is doing and communicating with other people. And it's kind of fun so far. It's a lot of work. Every night it's lots of emails. It's just going to be a lot of emails. Let's just put it that way. I don't have a wireless device. I kind of shying away from that. I tend to like to sit down and look at the emails after dinner, or sometimes when I'm at work, if I'm eating my lunch or something at my desk, sometimes I'll sit down and look at some of them just to kind of assess what I've got to do that evening. Sometimes at work, I don't have time to do anything like that. But I really do like to have meetings and want to do a lot of this stuff in person and not try to make decisions over email, because what happens is, in my opinion, is that not everybody gets the information at the same time, and sometimes somebody with some crucial input might be left out of a decision. And because we have a race committee, we want to hear from everybody. So that's the update on the race committee, and that'll be a recurring theme in the podcast over the next several weeks, because the race is April 30th, and I'm sure we'll run into some problems that I'll talk about in the podcast. Surely we're going to have some problems. All right, item three is spring marathons. Having a hard time deciding. A couple shows ago, it seemed that I was having an easy time deciding what I was going to do. I was going to do something in March and then Charlottesville, April 9th. Now I'm thinking about doing the B&A Trail Marathon, which is March 6th. And the reason for that is because early consideration of the National Marathon in Washington, D.C. turns out that date conflicts with a musical variety show that my family's going to be involved with here in Ashland the same weekend, and there's just no way I can do a marathon and you know, with a rehearsal and stuff leading up to the show, and then somehow run a marathon Saturday morning after being in a show on a Friday night, running a marathon Saturday morning, being in a show Saturday night. It's just not, you know, 2 hours away. It's just not going to work. So I scrapped that whole idea. So now I'm looking at a very early March marathon. Not looking at a PR type of situation, but for the ultra method, you know, the run-walk, and cover the marathon distance that way, which I've done before and actually did pretty good. I have done the B&A Marathon before. It stands for the Baltimore and Annapolis Trail Marathon. It's a rails-to-trail marathon in the Severna Park area of near Annapolis, Maryland. Annapolis is the capital of Maryland. It's a really cool area, and I've got a friend that lives up there. So that would be an easy race to do. Drive up Saturday, you know, kind of early. He's probably going to have his boat out by then, I think. I'm not sure. He's got a boat that he keeps out on the river up there, which is really sweet. It's always good to know somebody with a boat. He's got a big boat, too, so it's kind of cool. Go up there Saturday, spend the night, you know, run the marathon, drive home that afternoon on a Sunday. That'd be pretty easy. And it's a pretty decent course. It's a small race. The half marathon is more popular than the full marathon. Because I remember when I ran it the last time in March of 07, it was lonely on the back stretch because most of it's really a half marathon race, and the marathoners basically just go out, and we don't do the same course again. You go out a different direction doing out and back. But it's pretty cool because you're running on an asphalt path. So now I'm looking for another one in April. Now in February, I'm doing an ultra, which I'm not really supposed to be doing an ultra before I do my marathon, but it's an 8-hour endurance event, and most likely in 8 hours, we'll definitely cover more than, 50K. My goal is 35 miles for 8 hours. I'll talk about that, more about that as that comes up. That's called the Icy Eight, which is going to be at Lake Anna, Virginia. Somehow I got roped into signing up for that. I think my friend Tom got me into that, I wasn't quite sure. I'm not really sure why I did that. But on that day, it's going to be a strict 5-5, possibly a 10-10 type of situation. And I'm going to experiment with the different intervals. That's not a day to try to win anything. It's just a day to experiment with the time intervals, walking and running, and, you know, stay on my feet for 8 hours and be out there. Okay, so looking at April 9th is the Charlottesville Marathon. The reason that one's so attractive to me is because of the ease of getting out there and coming back. I can do all that in one day alone if I can't find any takers to go with me, because it's just an hour away. The drawback is that it's a hilly course, and frankly, I don't really care for it that much. I ran it last year. I've run the Charlottesville Marathon the last 2 years, and it's always the Saturday before Boston, so it's usually got all the non-qualifiers in there like me. Not that I've tried before. I guess I'm always trying every time I run a marathon. You're always trying to qualify for something. But they changed the organizers had to change the course from 2 years back to last year. I didn't really care for the change. I understand why they had to change it. I respect that, because now that I'm involved with the race, sometimes you don't have much of a choice. But, boy, that course was just so beautiful, because it was up in the Shenandoah Valley, and it was in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it was beautiful. There was one section of the course that ran along a ridge on a fire road, and it was just really awesome. It was just a beautiful race, and I remember I ran a real good finishing time that day. It was kind of hot, but I really enjoyed the experience. That was 2 years ago. Last year, not so much. So anyway, it's also possible that I just will not do a marathon in April, and I will just do my own 30-miler somewhere, or maybe I can find a trail. I don't really like the trail races. So I'm still in the wishy-washy thinking of my spring marathons. Of course, everything is really just to lay the groundwork for the 50-miler on May 14th in the Florida Keys. All right, let's get to the email bag section of the show. And heard from a new listener this week, which was really cool. And that's Andrew from Plano, Illinois. But right now he's living in Hong Kong. And he writes in, "Hey, Dave, listen to your podcast for the first time tonight. Really loved your commentary on the 50-miler. Congrats. I have tried this on a sidebar." Here's why I'm reading this, because he's very complimentary. So I'm going to read his email. All right, getting back to his email. "I've tried other running podcasts, but I have become keen to yours because we are about the same running level, and I love hearing about your journey through similar races. In May, I ran the Des Plaines River Trails 50-miler near Chicago, which was my first one. Currently, I'm living in Hong Kong. Planning to listen to your podcast on my commute to work. The podcast will give me some extra motivation during my training for the Hong Kong Marathon in mid-February. Andrew from Plano, Illinois / Hong Kong." Well, Andrew, thank you for the email. I've already responded to you, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to send that out. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about a kind of a unofficial amateur campaign I want to start on hearing from listeners, because I'm very curious. I don't think I've heard from anybody from Hong Kong yet, but I do know for a fact that there are people in China that download the podcast, because I'm able to check to see where the IP addresses are, generally speaking, in the world where the podcast is downloaded, because I've always been curious, and I have seen people download it from that part of the world. I've just never heard from anybody out there. So that's really cool. I think I put this in my email to you, but I took a training class a couple years ago. Of all places, it was the FBI, believe it or not. And I met a guy from Hong Kong, and we were talking about when we're talking about running, but he was talking about the suicide rate in Hong Kong. And I told him that I had read that a lot of people commit suicide by jumping off buildings out there. And he said the reason for that is because there aren't any guns. Anyway, seeing your email from Hong Kong made me think about that. I know that's pretty morbid. I probably shouldn't say stuff like that. But anyway, thanks, Andrew, for the email. Thanks for taking the time to write the email. And I'm glad you listened to the show, and I hope to continue to hear from you. Heard from Richard at the Woodlands, Texas. Richard's initial first listener that I've heard from. We're going way back to the first episode back in, I think March of 2008. I guess I'm getting on my third year. Nah, I can't be. 2008? I'm not sure when I started the podcast, but it's been, I think, a couple years now. And the reason I know that is because I started playing the guitar again, and it's been 2 years since I was taking lessons on the guitar. And the reason I quit the lessons is because I was doing a weekly podcast. So, and that I was doing the podcast every week, which I obviously don't do anymore. I do about every other week. So that's why I think I know it's been 2 years. But anyway, Richard, good to hear from you. Really do appreciate you taking the time to send the email. And I got your note on the Waco Marathon. Sounds like you entered. And that's, let's see, January 30th is when you'll be running. It's only a couple weeks to go. Looks like you've done your 21-mile training run with your training group, and then you're beginning the taper. So that's pretty cool. And looks like, according to your email, you're looking for a 4.5-hour marathon finish. So I applaud that. That's always my goal when I get out there. I'd love to be able to run consistently quicker than that. I've only have on a couple occasions, but 4.5 hours for the marathon is something I would definitely would go for. And looks like you have a good goal yourself. So appreciate the email. And one little part at the bottom on Richard's email, he finally takes the bite on getting the blistering photos sent out to him. He said he's been curious but hadn't mentioned it before. But after hearing about it in the recent episodes, he figured, okay, let me see it if you don't mind sending it. So, Richard, I sent you two good graphic photos of the bottom of my feet, the way they looked like after my back in June when I ran a 50-miler, as well as one that was in with me in my wheelchair with my feet wrapped up. I spent a lot of time in a wheelchair, and I'm not sure, I can't remember if I actually put that in the podcast back then. But I'll tell you a little funny story real quick. After, I couldn't walk on my feet at all. They were severely injured, not disfigured, but, you know, they were recovered. I'm obviously running again. But they were injured so bad that I couldn't walk on them. If you've ever crawled up your stairs of your house, you know, because you can't put any pressure on your feet, you know what a humbling experience that is. And that was really my situation. I didn't even shower, I think, for 4 or 5 days because I couldn't stand up in the tub. I couldn't stand the bottom of my feet getting wet. What I did was took a bath, and silly me thinking I would fit in the bathtub. I'm 6 feet tall. I didn't fit in the bathtub. About a quarter of my body fit in the bathtub with my legs hanging out, and I used one of those spray nozzles to get myself cleaned up. You can I'm not trying not to give any mental images there, but anyway, it's not good to hurt your feet. So anyway, Richard bid on those photos. I sent them out to him, and part of that story involves once I was able to get around a little bit in the wheelchair, which I borrowed, I went to Walmart, and I had my wheelchair in the back seat. I was able to get out of the car with a little bit of pressure on my feet, get in my wheelchair, wheeled myself in, and got in the electric scooter in Walmart. And I was just keeping my fingers crossed that I didn't see anybody that I knew. And I didn't. But I definitely probably looked like your people of Walmart websites. Anyway, I think I probably already talked about that. That was a funny time. So anyway, Richard, best of luck to you with the Waco Marathon. It's always good to hear from you because you always have some good details in your email. And if you would, once you get around to it, if you feel like it, give me a little brief summary of how things went down in Waco. I'd be really, really curious to know. You're a marathon veteran, so definitely looking forward to hearing from you on that. And, Richard, I meant to ask you, and put this in your next email, what do you think of the new Hawaii 5-0? Just throwing it out to you. Just curious what you think, being that you're a Hawaii 5-0 fan. All right, next email is from Mandy. And Mandy was in the last podcast with the interview about the Keys 100. Excellent, action-packed episode full of information on the Keys 100. Thank you so much, Mandy, for your time. And what she's going to do, she's going to put on her website some extra information. And that's ultrasformortals.com. And she's also going to do some ultra lists on there, like a mega checklist for ultra relays, ultra marathons, and running. So I'm sure there are other websites that have that stuff too. But she's got some really good articles, and that's why I would definitely direct your attention to her website. That's ultrasformortals.com. And the reason that I direct your attention to that website, if you feel like checking it out, is because Although Mandy's a very accomplished runner, she didn't start out that way. She started out as an everyman, and that's a term that she's used, and I like that. And so she has a very unique everyman perspective to make the running fun for people. And I think it's kind of it'd be worth your time checking out that website and seeing what the information is that she has to offer. And it turns out she's a real nice person as well, which I got to know her by talking to her and sending emails back and forth. So check it out, ultrasformortals.com, and that's Mandy Miller at that website. One thing I need to throw in there real quick is that when I was doing the podcast and talking about some of her accomplishments, I mispronounced the Marathon de Sable. So anyway, that's just my ignorance, you know. The funny thing is, I actually took French in high school, and I wish I never had. I wish I'd taken Spanish, because that would be a lot easier, for, you know, more. It would benefit me more now, but of course, I had to take French because my sister took Spanish, and I had to be different. I don't even know if that's Spanish or not, but I probably would. Oh, that's actually French. I would have been able to pronounce it if I had just paid more attention to it. Anyway, that's a stupid little sidebar. Got two other, one last thing here before we, I get into this campaign I want to start. This stupid little campaign I want to start. It has nothing to do with raising money. But a friend of mine's daughter is running. If you're local to the Hanover area, Mechanicsville, or even Richmond, we're doing a fund run in Ashland. It's a 5K predict your time. And when I say fund run, it's FUND run. And it's for a teenager who is raising money for a mission trip overseas. And it's her mom. Her name's Carly. And it's on the same day as the Super Bowl, which is February 6th. And it's going to be 2:30 in Carter Park in Ashland. I'm going to be involved with helping with the finishing times. And the cool thing about an event like this is that literally anybody can win it. Literally. It has nothing to do with being fast. I have never participated in one of these before. The Richmond Roadrunners Club in the area where I live has a predict your own time for the mile. I don't know of any 5K events. It's not a certified course. It's going to be fun, but it'll be 5K, you know, Garmin distance or whatever. It's a donation type of event. It's a fake race like I've talked about before. But it's a real, money raiser for her to raise money. And she's been raising all this money herself to fund her trip. And, it's for to spread culture. It's not a, it's not to, sightsee or anything like that. It's kind of a serious thing. But anyway, if you've never been involved with an event like that and you think it'd be fun, email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you're going to come up here for that. And so, because they're going to have food afterwards, and it's going to be kind of a, like I said, a fake race with a kind of a neat small town flair. I mean, there'll be race bibs, that kind of thing. But, no watches, no Garmins. It's predict your time for a 5K. And the closest one to the time they predict is the winner. And if it takes you 45 minutes to run 5K, and you predict, I get maybe it's the closest without going over, kind of like the Price is Right. I'm not really sure. But the closest one wins. So if you run a 21-minute 5K, but you're 10 minutes off your time, you're probably, and somebody comes in a lot slower than you, but it's closer to the time they predict, obviously they're going to win. They'll come in front of you. And there will be prizes. So I wanted to throw that in there. That's Carly's Super Bowl Guess Your Time Fund Run 5K, February 6th at 2:30 p.m. in Carter Park in Ashland, Center of the Universe. So email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. If you are going to participate or wanted more information, I'll see what I can do. That's kind of local to the Ashland, Virginia area. If you live, obviously, Andrew, and if you're listening in Hong Kong, I don't think you better make it. okay, last thing was this was a cool little, I got spammed on the website, which is ashlanddave.podbean.com. Designer handbags, I'm not going to give the website because that's the whole point, but the comment, it says, "Every time I see your blog has new things to learn, really great. Thank you very much for sharing." Interesting. So anyway, that got deleted. All right, so let me talk about the campaign. This was an idea that I had, and I'm going to do this over the next, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 episodes, and we'll see how many I hear from. This is an idea I have, and it's just an idea. It's the Listener Stand Up and Be Counted campaign. I've never really kept up with who listens to this podcast and who doesn't. There are some people that I've started dialogues with some listeners that have been really cool. I've learned a lot from others I've heard from, you know, and then never heard from them again. Only to wonder, you know, if they're still listening or not. Not that people need to constantly check in or anything like that, because constant feedback is certainly not needed. Because I see that people download the show, and there's a regular set of listeners. But I know that there are those people out there that I've never heard from, and those are the ones that I'm trying to target. So stand up and be counted. If you listen to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, you know, and you've never sent me an email, let me know who you are, you know, where you listen, what kind of running you do, send me to ashlanddave@gmail.com and stand up and be counted. It's not to collect email addresses or anything stupid like that. I'm just curious who listens and where in the world you live. That's all. No last names, no weird stuff, you know, no weird Amway crap, you know, no multi-level marketing or weird stuff like that. Just who you are, where you listen, you know, what you run. Stand up and be counted. You know, this is an amateur podcast. I have nothing to gain except an appreciation for the people who listen to it, and that's really the goal for this. So I'm going to throw that out there this week. I'll talk about it maybe in successful, you know, weeks to come, and we'll see who I hear from. Part of me kind of always wanted to keep a list of the people that listened that I heard from in different parts of the world. In the country, because I've always been curious about that, because a podcast tends to really bring a running community together. And when I say the running community, you know, wherever you live, because people all experience the same things. You know, we're not ever going to all get together and sing Kumbaya and go for a group run. That's just not going to happen, and that's not even the goal anyway. But I'm just kind of curious to know who listens, you know, where you listen from, and you know, you might check in. You know, send me an email, and you might have people that live where you live that listen to the show, even people that you might know that listen to the show, and you can make that connection if that's something that you want to do. You know, sometimes people don't want to mix their online persona with their reality persona. I can completely understand that, because I usually keep my reality persona minus running out of this podcast, because I like to separate the two, because it's kind of an alter ego type of thing. Okay, so that's the podcast for this week. I'm going to tack a little ad on the end for the Ashland Railroad Run. I'll give a little disclaimer at this point. The Ashland Railroad Run commercial that my daughter did mentions HanoverArts.org. We're still working on the registration for that. There's no information on that website yet, but the ad is cool anyway. We got it going. I'm going to tack it on. And we're still, you know, once we figure out what the logo is, we'll have that up within a week, pretty sure. All right, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a great week.
Ashland Railroad Run. Come race the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 30th for the 33rd annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe. This race is one of Virginia's first eco-friendly races and the area's longest running 10K race. This race features a flat certified course along the tracks, which is great for setting a PR. This event also features some of the best and most unique door prizes of any race around the Richmond, Virginia area. Be sure to come to the center of the universe on April 30th and race the rail. For more information, go to HanoverArts.org or email AshlandDave@gmail.com. I ran the kids race last year and it was fun. Run Ashland first. See you there.